Mr. Gully, reel 24. You were talking about being relieved.
Well, I was actually relieved. It was reinforcing. And I said, well, Mark, the second thing that you want, more Mark. So, I said, you know, and talk to those defenses or whatever you want, and I said, well, I'll be bringing some reinforcing group from the Italian system. You just to reinforce it at the moment. He said, that's not a boy. Now, I've never seen him from that year in the day walk in the drill on the 32. And we became friends. Our wives became friends. The family became friends. And it was just that chance meeting, which is only very, very important. He died, and his wife did say that. I don't know how it was. We took this together. We went on a holiday together and we became a friend of friends. And that was just still a pure 3 minute meeting in a foxhole in Korea. Which today I thought was remarkable. If I'd never met the original, anyhow, Mark was to run back, and I think that it was here the name of the character to clear up and met in the building there. Two or three divisions were there, which sort of shortened the gap because there were 15 gaps between 1 platoon and 2 platoon. 3 platoon and 6 made 6 because they had been a mile and a half in 1 and 2.
A Company had took the brunt of that last attack, hadn't it?
Yes. It was that night, when the attack, when they hit 1 platoon, well, they hit 1 platoon, I think. 1 platoon was a bit more up on the left. We went in the foxhole there, and we heard two lads. One was Hugh O'Neill, whose stepbrother has been in touch with the same thing that happened. We heard him shouting at him in the end. A bolt was firing. He was yelling. There was money there. Nobody was doing anything about it. Everybody was out busy looking after themselves, but there was nothing to do. There came a lot since after I was warned that word, that the feed from what officially the force admissions to us that could never go in front. Some reckon they were struck with the barbed wire in the middle of the area. And they were actually blown away a little bit better. I was still, I don't know. It just seems that I've heard people that I met later on that told me about it. You took those two lads out of there and we'll never see again. But you broke through on the two, straight from the cookhouse area. What you used to call a cookhouse, I don't know which cookhouse headquarters. We went through a lot. And this is what amazed me about the Japanese. They just kept on going. No matter how many was going up there, we just kept on going. And this is the other side of the middle, we thought. But that night of 27 was another bad night. It was a lot of coverage happening. And then, I think it was about the 28th, there was another. Friendly says what we said would be shared. They call him and saw the team out. And a Welsh voice said, how many contributing this year? And I said, oh, you left three now. No room for anybody else. Well, he says, it's all right, man. We're coming up to relieve you. And I said, oh, well, that seems great. The shop rock get out of the other day. He says, I'm corporal in the Royal Welsh Fusiliers. And he says, can I come in and show me what's going on? So I showed them what was going on. Well, he said, well, I'm going back down for my section. We'll be coming up now. We never knew nothing. Nobody has said anything about four now. And we never knew what we had. Hancock took the brand new one out, took our 3 or 4 rifles. It was the same as what had happened when we went in the Red West Kent. Well, we never had a wet for a week or whatever, lights, cooking on boots and smelling, flat. We made our way out down the same track that we come up. As we came out, the wireless went in our positions.
And this was during the day, was it? Daylight.
Yes. I'm not sure whether it was morning or afternoon. It was in the daylight. As I say, the snipers were the worst effect during the day. Never nearly get attacks from the Japanese. They always got away at night time. And he went to Royal Welsh. Out went the second guns. We made our way down about a half a mile, I think it was, down the road. And I always remember, I had this really Tuesday. And it must have been making all the things I never thought about. It. But I started winding down as he's coming down. And once we got down that road and off the hill, I got on there. The Covenian Fall Road from walking down. It's a great feeling of relaxation when you feel 10 foot tall. You don't look back. There's no looking back. You just keep going. And when we arrived at the spot where the London Road, where the battalion was London Road, there was a tremendous smell of stew. I never enjoyed a stew too much in my life. We hardly got our gear off and we got the stew. And we thought, oh, this is wonderful. We'll do now with it. Then we'll go back down another. But this one, yeah, I think we stopped out.
Before we go further on, did you witness any man who cracked under the strain? Did you witness any man who cracked, ran away, wouldn't move under the strain of the battle?
No. No, I don't think. Not this one. Everybody seemed to be in a little bit. Just living with the blood. Yeah, not ask anybody's choice. Everybody was helping each other. And I think there's a spirit of helping each other that's sort of got us through it.
Had you, did you feel now that you were the equal of the Jap, or even better than the Japanese soldier?
We felt as though we'd really given the stubborn. Because we knew, before we went there, that Garrison Hill must not fall. It must be to the last time we were given the group of air. It must not fall. And not only the Germans, the rest of the division were really struggling for it, and they were really up for it. And I think the Japs met a class of troop that they weren't used to meeting. The Indian meeting, I'm not a person against the Indian Army, as I said, but the majority of the Indian Army were in the Western Desert. And what you had was a selection of second class. I think it should be hard to say that because but they weren't as disciplined as what the second division was. Second division had something about them. I think it was always specialist creativity, and they could switch you anything. Being so horned that it was going to take a hard time for the clock. And then look at the second division. And I think the Japanese realised that. And that was why the main thing, I don't know what it had before, Turkey and Butchers, which is in the middle of the South, this is what the 33rd division called, which was a disembark. How much the pudding? They never shifted, but I feel it was there. The casualties they had were tremendous. They never moved once. The only time they moved is when the Royal Welsh came in and asked them to take it away. I think that I'm speaking to myself. I'm still further than the second day. To me, the only ones that exist. And I don't think anybody else could have done the job any better, or maybe not as good, and don't care. I've done all those great regiments, I have made local regiments now, but I think anybody else could not have done the job that the Germans did on Garrison Hill.
And no quarter was given, and nor any taken. Did you see any wounded Japs that were finished off?
The only Japs I saw were non battlefield were dead ones. Dead ones, and their bodies were lying all over. And that's why I come to the strong point. We didn't pull out. Of course, I had good positions looked further on. And I sit many times and think to myself, how I pull up with you. All of which you might know, I don't know how to go through it. I never heard anybody create against you before.
I was going to ask you, in times of great danger like that, was there any religious feeling, any praying to God?
Well, not a greatly religious person. I believe in God and Jesus Christ and that. But I can't remember ever praying. I can remember seeing one year Yeah, you sell it through, trying to get one, you know, one that's, one that doesn't burn a lot, but just comes in and out of it. I mean, we were fortunate to survive that.
But praying, and that didn't come into the equation. Did you see much of the Padre? Did the Padre appear?
In between, I went to somehow go to the Tomb of Bury, and we went back, and Padre Rice, who was the king of the Padre, he said, lads, I don't think we'll sing again. Or if we do, we'll sing. Praise the Lord and pass down the mission. He says, I think that's the only suitable song that he was a great work, Paddy Rice. We got a marvellous Paddy, a marvellous M.O.
Who was that?
Was it Smalley?
Harvard Jones, was he with you then?
Harvard Jones. So Smalley was in the other family. Harvard Jones. That was another character. You think, we've got them out of a book. And the people like these that kept me going with that. And then the unfortunate thing that the sad thing about there, we heard that Colonel Theobald had been killed. We didn't hear that Theobald had been killed. And that was there was a lot of sadness, if you could use that word, as word got around, because he was so well liked. There's a lot of sadness amongst the world when it happened. There's a lot of sadness about all the mates that we lost. People like Padre, Harvard Jones, characters like that could always come out with some sort of quip. There's a different bond in something like that. Rand disappears, and you're only men. Everybody seemed to be on one level. No longer was it officer and man. We're all in this together. And if we all stick together, we're going to get through it. And that was an attitude that I found. One of the things that did happen, nobody put sided squares on, and officers didn't wear pips because the Japanese had an awful habit. I think that was why we lost so many NCOs. But wearing insignias and things, nobody wore stripes, nobody wore, didn't need to because we knew who people were. But it was a dead giveaway, and they used to take a delight in picking out officers and sergeants. One of them, if they saw any one of them, they were all about to come here for them. But there was a great feeling when there were relaxing coming out, sitting down in a wall of steel, and everybody's asking, did you say sure to her? Did you say this one? Because as I said, we were flipping from one hole to another. Oh, this stuff, sure to her, being killed, what do you call them being killed? What do you call them being killed? Where's this stuff? Where's that? I mean, are they all right, you know? Because people who were the echelon were coming up and sitting there, they're going to the dinner hall for the hospital and staying in the casualties.
Did you have a roll call on the roadside?
Yes. Always a roll call.
That must have been quite a moving moment with names called out that didn't answer.
Yeah. It's almost like that when you realise how long you've been together, you know? Because the daylight of it, it's a closely knit unit. And you talk about people from someone, you know, Henry Hall, he's in the name. Talk about people in your own county, which was the bulk of the second barons. Feel from Middlesbrough, but as he flies at the game recently, but the majority, as my parents said, were managed to keep the paper up, you know, after I was one of them. Around about the same time, all the names locally that either been killed or wounded. And of course, people start realizing then what's happening, you know. But there's I've always been sentimental. And you know, I saw a journey, I thought about it, there's something about it that reminded me. I've always given me a good feeling. Serious to this day, I'm still proud. Still proud that I was with the journey.
The aircraft that were bringing your supplies and dropping them on you, were they under severe fire?
They were under fire all the time, and they used to fly in at about, between 50 and 100 feet over the top of the hill. They were obviously waving out at him and kicking them out, you know? And Jack used to say that blast off in mind that they would circle the hill. I could get out of the range, and I knew coming in for the drop. And when it dropped, it did bounce. Why did it drop water and that? Keep food. That was all cigarettes.
Were they British or American aircraft?
Well, British aircraft. Well, I think they were. They were recorders. They were recorders that they were filming. And I think DC-7s.
You must have been watching anxiously that they dropped it in the right place.
Oh, yeah. Why did you see them drop over the GLM and kill his finger? But normally the air was pretty still, you didn't get a lot of floating, you know. And when it came in really low, it just came down, the parachute would open down and come down with a thump. Ammunition as well, they dropped it.
You had
pretty fair lads that were sitting in the doorways of those things. I mean, as I say, if they raped them, you could save them. And they're just standing in the doorways, kicking them out, and they all broke past them on me, and kicking them out. And I had probably a couple of wounds went off. I never saw any German. But mine, at that time, we never saw a Japanese fighter plane. We had absolutely air superiority, artillery superiority, and of course with the German identity being on, there is to be a military superiority.
Were air attacks carried out on the Japanese positions in front of you? Be too close, were they?
There was no air attacks carried out. In the breakout, I didn't think there was any aircraft, but that's when the breakout came out, I didn't think there was any aircraft. It were usually a lot of fire patrols were in it. As I said, they wouldn't know that well, really. It was a waste of time. I mean, you could bomb them and blast them, machine with them, and they just disappeared about 20 feet. Some of the positions they took were tremendous. You've got to hand it to them. And then all of a sudden, when the attack came in, up they came, and they got the full blast.
You could admire their courage, could you? Their bravery?
Oh, yes. I mean, the question is, do you call it bravery or do you call it stupidity? Their ambition is to die for the Empire. Well, I must admit my ambition wasn't to die for keep going. I wanted to get back in one piece. But this was our sole ambition, to get the hard a little token, or we carried something about them, and that was taken off and then sent back to Japan, where it was honored, and it was an honor for the Dalai. And I honestly think that someone would try to go in, but they haven't any, I mean, they were running short of food. They didn't have a great lot of artillery support. But there's thousands of them. They would come rushing on in mad attacks. But the point is, these attacks previously on the day coming off. As I say, they've advanced all the way from Rangoon, the intention of capturing the whole army. And that's why the back was broken in Kohima itself. And I think the British 2nd Division was responsible. As history would have it, that the turning point in the Far East and Burmese War, turning point was at Kohima and itself. And having read all the history books, they have been looked on previous years, and I must say that ourselves, when we were down at in the Anacon, gave them more credit than what they should have. We sort of looked on them as supermen. And at Derrick's McGill, we found out that they weren't supermen, that they had died if you hit them out of the hatchery. But theirs was different. They were fanatics. I think that's the best word for you. They were fanatical. They had been brainwashed to the extent that to die was glorious. And that was not, for me, the way of civilized people.
And their reputation for cruelty would make you presumably fight more than want to probably give up as a prisoner, what have you.
That's it. Joseph was a job. We trained hard for the daily job. And we only hope that when we had to put the things into place, that we learned, that we did them, and we knew if we did them properly, we would succeed. Always, as I said earlier, this business of not firing and seeing many lives. And we always, that's why we came at night and we looked for positions. And then we would put a mass charge on it, and we just go in one part and made it up. And that was it, and we're through. We learned our lesson the hard way. We learned it down in the Anacon. And we put into practice all the things that were being taught, and that was why, what I put it bluntly, we were better soldiers than what they were. We were better disciplined than what they were. And we had more firepower than what they had.
You mentioned the Japanese mortar as being a good weapon, well used, well handled. Were there other weapons that they had that you came to have regard for, or respect for?
The Japanese machine gun was very similar to the Bren gun. The heavy machine gun was very similar. They carried by you, I think, this artillery included that there. We're pretty accurate with their artillery. But now again, I think our artillery was far more powerful, more accomplished than what they were. And I think our on Mars is equivalent to that. All in all, I would share the equipment between any infantry was very much alike. The difference was in the discipline and the will to win the people that were in the division that we were in. They knew they were good. We knew we were good. We had a clue what we do. And that's what I would say for it.